From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
It is your works we celebrate. Everything we can think of, we can imagine, is because of your doing. I pray that for these few minutes, you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you not allow us to leave your presence the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. I just want to, you know, give a speech, speak a little bit from the scriptures. I don't know whether I'll open the Bible, but just, you know, listen and let's move along. Amen. If you know Bible stories, you probably will be able to follow better. Amen. But it's good to see you tonight. I wasn't expecting you. Because normally you don't come. So I didn't. In fact, I wasn't expecting you at all. But it's good that you're here. Amen. You like the Tuesday evenings, isn't it? Well, if you like Tuesday evenings, you have to cross the river. Wonderful. My short sermon is entitled The Dominion Strategy. The Dominion Strategy. The Strategy to Dominate. The Dominion Strategy. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor the Dominion Strategy. Now, when Jesus came into this world, His plan and His purpose was to shine. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, verse 1. And the Word was God. Verse 2 says the same was in the beginning, isn't it? With God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in Him was life, isn't it? And the life was the light. The life was the light of man. And then verse 5 says that, and the light shines or shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What it means is that the light that is in Christ shines, and once the light is present, there's no darkness. It talks about dominion. It talks about overpowering. It talks about conquering. That wherever Christ is and wherever the Spirit of Christ is, there cannot be any other thing that prevails or presides in the place. Are you following what I'm trying to say? I'm saying that wherever Jesus is, by definition, there shouldn't be any other power prevailing. If Jesus is ruling in this place, nobody else is supposed to bring themselves or anything. It's something that we need to understand. So what we call, or what I call the dominion strategy, is based on this scripture that the light came into this world and it shined. I mean, 2,000 years ago, you can hear of Muhammad, you can hear of whoever, but the name Jesus, I said the name Jesus, it is heard all over the place. It is known all over the place. When it is mentioned, Bible says that every knee bow and every tongue confess. Now, in a similar way, if you follow the steps of Jesus, there was a strategy He adopted. It just did not happen. Are you there? It did not just happen. Do you get it? Just as your success, your breakthrough, and your victories do not just happen. He that hath, it does not just happen that somebody has a bit more than you. It's because that person is involved in some activities that is making the person ahead of you. Anytime you see somebody ahead of you, you should respect them because they have something that you don't have. So the best thing is to find out what this person has that I don't have. And then you learn from it so that you also catch up with where they are. Are you with me? So the dominion of Christ Jesus did not just happen. There was a strategy which was step by step implemented. And that is the error that we can make even as Christians and as ministers and even as head of missions and all of that. Because you can think that things will just happen. But things just don't happen. You have to make things happen. I say you have to make things happen. Yeah, and on a day like this, on my birthday, if you want to call it, or Prince will say birth anniversary. It's birth anniversary. He doesn't say happy birthday. It's a happy birth anniversary. That's the right English or political terms you have to use. So things just don't happen. And Jesus teaches us that. If you look at the life of Christ and his mission on earth, you will realize that he just did not appear and just disappeared. No, everything was orchestrated. Even to the woman who would be pregnant with him, it was planned. Because the angel Gabriel came and said, you are highly favored. There are so many Marys around. Some are dangles. Some are this. Some are this. Some are that. Some have evil spirits. Some is this. Some is that. Some this. Some are whatever. Oh, but you said, you are highly favored. You, Mary, you are highly favored. Yeah. There are so many Marys. If you read the Bible, there are so many Marys. There was only one Mary. And then the Bible says that this Mary that Christ chose was a Mary that a guy called Joseph, his eyes was on. Yeah. Mary was chosen because of Joseph. Did you know that? Oh, are you sure you know that? Who is from the lineage of David? Is it Joseph or Mary? It's Joseph. So God, you see, that is why it is such a great blessing when somebody likes you. Yeah. When you are liked by somebody, you should take it very serious. Yeah. There are so many people who don't respond to love and who don't respond to like. From like that, if the pastor or the bishop is interested in you and he likes you, I mean, you must be very, very grateful, because God chose Mary only because Joseph was interested in her. That was the reason why Mary was chosen. That was the only thing. Yeah, there were a lot of virgins. Come on, let's be serious. Yeah, she was not the only virgin around. No, but she was the one that Joseph was interested in. That's how come the angel appeared to her. Yeah. Because even if you look at her, she wasn't somebody who was even anything. Because she said, when the angel told her, she said, hey, how can this be? Some woman who doesn't believe in anything. She was just added. She was just counted among, just because of a likeness from somebody whose seed was a holy seed. Somebody who was royalty. Somebody who was anointed. Somebody who was called. Just liked him. Just liked her. And that was the beginning of her breakthrough. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the mother of Jesus, now the Catholic Church, Mary is rather the main person. Not even Joseph. It is supposed to be Joseph. Yeah. I don't know why they like the woman rather than the man. Joseph. You know. But is it apart from the birth and the strategy that was implemented or that was manifested and all of that, when it comes to ministry, and that's the part that I want to kind of take out and just, you know, show you a little bit and we're done. If you come to ministry too, it was also strategies. Because he came alone. Jesus started his ministry, Bible says, when he was at the age of 30. When John the Baptist was arrested and he was imprisoned, Then the Bible says that he began to walk by the Sea of Galilee. And then Isaiah's prophecy came to pass. He said, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that dwell in darkness have seen a great light. And the Bible says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Peter and his brother Andrew with their father. They were what? Were they casting or mending? They were mending their net. And he said, follow me. And the Bible says they left their father, they left their nets, and they followed him. It was a strategy. So in ministry, what happens is that when God calls you, you need to have people who stand with you. Because otherwise, Jesus would have just preached by himself. John was alone. For your information, John was alone. So he called Peter and his brother Andrew, and he gathered 12 guys. That is what he was. That is why he was able to even start ministry. He needed 12 people. Do you get it? So maybe I also need 12 people before I can start. And if you don't have 12, you can't start ministry. Yeah, if you don't have 12 faithful, strong people behind you who are more or less open and teachable and obedient and sacrificial. You see, you need something to make, you need ingredients to make a meal. So all you need is ingredients. You don't need a completely cooked meal. You are going to make the meal. You see, and that's also something we have to learn, that in ministry, you don't get things just given to you on a silver platter. You have to make them. What you need is you need people, you need faithful people, and you need to learn how to deal and manage them and bring them to some place. You know, like what, you know, Pastor Keith and all these guys, what they are saying and all of that. It is how you bring somebody from nothing into something. It is by your relationships. Do you get it? So Jesus called 12 people, and then he worked with them. I'm saying something. Don't forget this message ever in your life. If there's any message I've preached this year that you forget, don't forget this message. Because this message is very, very supernatural. It's very, very divine. It's really coming from the heart of God. So, the dominion strategy. If Shepherd House International is going to dominate like the light shines in darkness, it is going to be your understanding of what I'm talking about. So, Jesus calls 12 people. And then they are with him. Now, the 12 walk with Jesus. He taught them a lot of things. He showed them a lot of things. And then the time came when Jesus died. He rose again. And then he went into heaven. There are several events that took place. Even on the day that it started, from the day when Jesus rose from the dead. You see, all along, like Jacob's 12 sons, there was a diner. There was a woman. But she's not normally counted. Because in those days, women were nothing. Yeah. And there was a reason why they were nothing, because even now that they are something, you have to control them. Yeah. You know, we can't preach without mentioning you. You have to feature. Are you there? So, it started on the day of resurrection. Okay. Now, I heard this message, this revelation was, it was actually shown me. One day, I was sitting in a Presbyterian church. Is that Regan? I was sitting in a Presbyterian church. The church that, you know, in those days, we speak in tongues, so we don't really respect them. I didn't have a choice. I had to go with my father and my mother. So I went. It was Resurrection Sunday. And the preacher preached very powerfully. And he spoke about this. And since then, I've not forgotten it. He spoke about how the events on the day of the resurrection. You realize that it was said that Peter was actually older than Jesus. Yeah, they said that Peter is older than just as Elijah was older than Elijah. Elijah was far older than Elijah. Yeah. It's not uncommon that your pastor, you are older than your pastor. It's not a problem at all. It's normal. Peter was older than Jesus. That's how come sometimes he used to exercise himself like that. It's like, say, hey, Jesus, Jesus would say, hey, Satan, you say, Satan, you, things like that. Do you understand? So, on the day when Jesus rose up from the dead, the first person who saw Jesus really was a woman. It was a woman. It wasn't Peter. Peter didn't see Jesus when he rose up from the dead on that day. John, the beloved disciple, didn't see Jesus when he rose from the dead. It was Mary who said, Rabboni! So the preacher highlighted this fact. And it's very interesting to take note of it. Then it is the woman rather that, the woman who went there to apply some spices on Jesus' body. It is the woman rather that Jesus asked to go and tell his brothers that he's risen and that they should prepare to meet him on the Mount of Olives. When they went and they told Peter and the rest, they said, no, it cannot be true. It can never be true that we saw a dead body. He said, no. Because he said, when we went, the tomb was opened, the stone was rolled away, and there was no Jesus there. And we met him, and he said that he's risen. I saw him with my eyes. Peter, they said, no. So then Peter and John began to run to the tomb. And the Bible records that even though when they started running, the person who got there first was John, the beloved disciple. Because he was younger than Peter. And you know how it is when old people and young people run races. Yeah. Younger ones will definitely overtake the older ones. If you want to try it, you can try it. You can run and let's see. You want to try. Charlene, who will you try? Who do you want to go with? Daniela? Okay. Mountain of the Lord. So, the two of them took off. John, because he was younger, got there first. But the Bible says that when he got there, he did not enter the tomb. He was around. Then when Peter got there, he is the one who entered into the tomb to see for himself where he was lying. The linen cloth that they used to wrap him and all of that, it was there. And the preacher, many years ago, made me understand the inclusiveness of women, younger people like John, and then older people. In the New Testament, the New Dispensation. Because in the old dispensation, women were not counted. Children were not even counted. As for an older person, you can say, okay, fine. That's what the Bible says in the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. It says your sons and your daughters. It's like the younger ones are included. So the woman or the ladies who saw Jesus first meant that in this dominion strategy, women are important. In this dominion strategy, young people are important. In this dominion strategy, older people cannot be ignored. Everybody has a place because unless we embrace that, we cannot dominate. It's because there is something that a young person can do that an older person can do. And there's also something that an older person can handle that a young person can handle. And there are some things that a woman can only see and a man cannot see. You see, but this is the catch. You see, the 12 guys, it wasn't so simple for them to open up to the strategy. You see, because it took them a while before they realized they had to replace even Judas. It took them a while. Because it's like, Charlie, if he's gone, he's gone. When they started gathering, so the 12, and then the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that the people who were gathered praying in the upper room, there were 120 people. So it has moved away from the 12, and now A few people have joined. They have become 120. Why 120? Because in the dominion strategy, the 12 is no longer enough. That is why Paul told Timothy that the things that thou hast heard of me, the things, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, I believe, the things that thou hast heard of me, he said, commit thou unto what? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Because if you want to dominate, you can't keep the circle closed. This is where the old guard must wake up. I said, this is where the old guard must wake up. Now, when Jesus left them and they preached on the day of Pentecost and a lot of people got saved, then they also selected some deacons. So now it's not just them and the women, the 120. Now there are some six guys. Was it six? Six deacons? Was it six? So about six of them. Oh, Bible students. No, six. Six of them. Six, seven. So some deacons were selected to help in the daily ministration of food and all of that. There were seven of them. Now you think about it. 12 guys have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. At least the 120, Mary and mother of Jesus and Jesus' brothers and all these people, some people came in. Now, a group of seven deacons also come on board. Why? It is because of the dominion strategy. Now, you realize that the guy Stephen, who was a deacon, even was more powerful than, let's say, Bartholomew or Matthew. Because the way he lived his life and the way he influenced his time and his season and his generation, he was recorded. He has a part of the Bible written in his name of what he did. That is even when we got to know of Saul. Now, as the head of the mission, and as you have gathered to listen to me on a night like this, what God is trying to teach us is that, you see, we have to open our arms to embrace a lot of people. We can't go far. You see, when we started, it was me and my wife and our two girls. Then, Reverend Isan. Where's Cromwell? Reverend Cromwell, is he here? Cromwell, I can't see you. Yeah. They came. Lipas Abigail. Then Sister Dion. And at the point, I think Aina came in, isn't it? Yeah. So we're together. Pastor Greg, of blessed memory. He also came. Then we're there. Then others started coming in. Now, one day I heard Reverend Isan address somebody. He told the person, keep quiet, you just come. And I spoke to him. I said, brother, please don't say anything like this again in my presence. Why? Because when you have 12 guys move with Jesus for 3.5 years, now somebody says he's Matthias. He has come in because Judas, you know, became a rebel. Now, as he came in, he's trying to, you know, open his mouth. If you are Peter, you say, hey, brother, let's be serious. Some people have been here before you came. When Moses and Elijah appeared to him, where were you? If it wasn't Judas who misbehaved, you wouldn't even have been here. Is that not how some people will behave? I'm saying that this mission and this purpose that God has given to us, we cannot go far and wide if we are not going to embrace the newer people, the fresher ones, the younger ones, the people that we don't consider, the people that we don't even expect to to also be part and be involved in what we are doing. Yeah. Then when Paul even came inside, it was even a problem. It was a problem. Because I said, ah, but this guy, we knew him. We heard about him. This guy, he is the one who kills people. Why? He said, no, no, no. Some people had to come and speak about them and say, this guy, yes, it was like that, but he's born again. He's saved now. He's preaching the same Jesus we are preaching. The people, the disciples were not comfortable. No, we have to open up. That is why you see some people preaching as pastors. Because if we are going to keep the pastoral society among myself, my wife, and Reverend Isan and Reverend Larry, they are tired. They are old. There are some things they don't listen to. Some things you tell them, they don't even listen. They don't even care. They are not even interested. Yeah, Peter and John. Yeah. Yes. It took Joanne a while to play the keyboard because the keyboard was for Reverend Isan. Yeah, it's his property. Once he's here, nobody can play the keyboard. Yeah. Especially when you are playing and then you miss the key. Oh, you don't play it the way it has to be played. Then you have to get up for the big man to come and sit down and play. But you see, if we're going to entertain that all the time, that is why some of us don't have musicians in our church. That's why we don't have people around us. Because we are not opening up to people. You see, we human beings, we are very bad though. We have a way of canceling people out of our lives. It's like, if it's a good idea and it comes from Anita, it's okay. I don't want it. It cannot be that Anita will come with a good idea. No, but we are all not the same. Oh. We are all not the Bible says we are all members of one body. There are certain things some people see, some people don't see. So if we are going to limit the work to just a few people, we are not going to go anywhere. Is that Jennifer? Okay. Yeah, we will not go anywhere. I don't know if you are listening. Yes. We are not going anywhere. That is what sparked the Reformation, you know. 500 years of Reformation was celebrated just a few weeks ago. The Reformation was started by Martin Luther. And then John Calvin and then John Hus and all these guys. Because, Calvin, yeah. You see, because the bishops who were the Catholic bishops and Catholic priests, they were dominating and cheating and abusing the people. They say, you see, they dominated and manipulated the people who were coming to the Catholic Church to the standard. It's like, excuse me, if your grandmother is dead and you bring money, you bring an offering, they can pray for your grandmother. Your grandmother is in purgatory, waiting to go to heaven or hell. So if you bring offering, then the priest can pray for your grandmother to move from purgatory into heaven. Yeah, no, you should know church history. So those of you who have grandmothers, you should bring money to me. I'll pray for them to go to heaven. Yeah, that is what caused Martin Luther. Even Martin Luther, when they described Luther, he was not somebody who even had the vision to cause anything. All he wanted was that he was walking through the woods one day, and he was struck down by lightning, and he interpreted as God was calling him. So when he was struck down, he said he'll be a monk. He said, yeah, I'll be a monk. I mean, he interpreted as God was punishing him because he doesn't want to do his work. So he became a monk. And he knew Latin. In those days, you can't speak German. In school, you have to speak Latin. And so the Bible was only in Latin. So if you don't know Latin, you can't read the Bible. It's not now that we have English and we still don't read. So when he read the Bible in Latin, then he realized that you are only saved by grace and not by works. Then it's like his eyes opened all of a sudden and said, ah, so all along what they have been talking to us about, it's not like that. It's a lie. So then he came up with 95 questions, 95 theses. And he went to his town and he nailed the 95 questions on the front door of a church. And that's just, and the popes and people in Rome said, hey, this boy is a rebel. He's disloyal. Go and bring him. Yeah, loyalty and disloyalty. Started then too. And that's how come, you know, then they realized that no, they will not submit to the Catholic Church. This. And then there was a breakaway and a new move came. You see, new moves come when the old order refuses to embrace the new things God wants to do. I'm saying that the strategy to dominate in our work in Guyana, if this place can be packed and then there will be overflow outside, it will come because we will include people that we don't actually respect or regard. Yeah. Because I can't go to Perfect Harmony and have a church. I don't want to be in Perfect Harmony. I don't want to go to Stewartville. It's not as harmonious as we expect it to be. I can't go to Stewartville. I may probably not even prefer to go to Stewartville. But somebody can go. Somebody will want to go. Somebody want to be in Hope. Somebody want to be in Mahaika. Maybe I can't go there. And it is in loving and respecting and allowing people of all color, people of all backgrounds to be involved. Let me tell you, it started from the 12 guys. Now all of us are involved in the work. If they had closed the whole circle, you and I cannot even be inside. So we cannot dominate if we don't follow the strategy of Christ, that he came, he chose 12 people, and then it expanded. Then the deacons came. And then, you know the scriptures. If you read the Bible, you hear of John Mark. You hear of Luke. You hear of what? Silas. You hear of Timothy. All these people were. Timothy was a little boy. Paul took interest in practically. I mean, you see, thank God we don't have that thing here. But like how I have Pastor Gerard with me like this. Like, let's say Reverend Isan and Reverend Ralph, anytime they see him, they'll say, look at that small boy. Look at his head like coconut. Because he's with a bishop, he walks around like he's with, hello, he should clear off. When he goes to talk to them, he said, what? I'm coming. Later. I don't have that. If I was going to have that, this guy wouldn't survive. Yeah. Look at how Pastor Keith is doing MC. Nice. Preaching. Introducing. Very nice. He used to play cricket right out here. Every Sunday. And he said the ball will come on top of the, and they'll climb the building and go and pick up their ball. Yeah, David. Look how glorious he looks. Anointed stomach. I don't know where he bought it from. From New Amsterdam, Stanley Town. Come let the people see your stomach. How many months are you pregnant? And you have Bobby too. Hey! He has stomach and Bobby and everything he has. No, David's input is important. David's input is important. Now, you wait. When all these little boys and girls who we are training in Ghana, when they come and they say they are pastors, we have to understand it. We have to allow them. Because it will be suicidal for us to invest so much money in these people's lives, and then when they come, they will say, sit down, shut up. I think for about 12 years, the first time I was not here with my wife on a Sunday was just the other day in the summer. So I think the first week in September, when we're in Suriname, Sunday morning, I said, I don't go to any church. Even my people who were there, they didn't know that I was in the country. I said, one Sunday, I don't think I will go to hell by not going to church on a Sunday. I said, this Sunday, I'm not going to church. We slept late, woke up late, everything. Then I asked myself, is this me? That on a Sunday morning, I can sleep and watch cartoons with my little boy, Tom and Jerry, and eat breakfast. Meanwhile, there are countries where we have raised people and there are locations and churches going on Sunday morning. Everybody is serious preaching in their connects, in their areas, in the towns and in the cities. Because the strategy to dominate is to include people. You see, Paul didn't understand that. So when he came in, he started talking bad about the disciples, these people. He said, Cephas, we can take women around like Cephas takes his wife around. He said, if he's an apostle, me too, I'm an apostle. But you see, what he didn't remember is he didn't walk with Jesus. There was a difference. Peter walked with Jesus. John said, of what we have handled, what we have touched, of the word, of what our eyes have beheld. He said, it is of that we speak unto you. The word of life. You, Paul, your eyes even closed. You became blind. Forgive me, Paul. I have to explain it in a sense. I'm sure you see. Yeah, he killed Stephen and all of that. Then when he came in, then he felt like he's now also a mega brother. And that somebody should keep quiet. Somebody should shut up. Let us watch though. Let us watch it. If we are going to dominate, and that is why God brought us here, to dominate. Yeah. And we are going to dominate. Yeah. I said, we are going to dominate. We are going to overtake. We are going to win. We are going to conquer. We are going to spread all over. Yeah. That some meetings, until we have our cathedral, some of the meetings, we have to tell some people not to come. When you're coming from London, we tell you, no, bring only 10 people. Don't bring more. If there's no space. When you're coming from a school, please don't tell anybody. Just you and your assistant come. We don't have enough seats. It's coming soon. Yeah. Let's embrace people. We need to, you know, as Rebecca was reading the poem, I got ideas. It is an example of when you don't. You see, ladies and gentlemen. I am the head of the mission. And I'm telling you something that I believe God is telling all of us. That we will not dominate if we don't believe in each other and allow everybody. I tell my team in Wales, I tell them about the objective. The other day, two of my people were fighting. Should I say it? Pastor Gerald, should I say it? Akima, should I say it? You don't know, right? She said, okay. I say, let's keep our eyes on objective. It's not about who, it's about what the purpose is. He's like, ah, you're doing birthday, you want to honor me and all of that. It is not about, it's about me. It's not about Ned, it's not about Mary. It's about me. It's because if you don't take care, what you do is that you end up dishonoring me by objecting to something beautiful. You're We have to be very careful. Because God has a way of bringing everybody together. You see, and that is what has even made our bishop the way he is. Bishop has all these people around him because he has believed and also included us in what he's doing. I heard he was at a Bible school, went to announce, gave them a very, very important announcement. And he went with his first love pastors. It's like a whole new group of people. He goes to the Bible school for emergency meeting. He's the one talking. And the people around him, it's not Bishop Saki, it's not Bishop Eddie, it's not Bishop Ntefo. They were not even welcome in the meeting. It was just these young boys, Joshua Hayward Mills, Franco Poku, Nakoja, these young boys who the other day became pastors. They are the one walking with the father. And as he's standing on the podium, and the guys are around him like bodyguards. Then you ask yourself, these guys, these small boys, where did they come from? Since when do they walk around power like that? It's a whole new generation. And if you are really going to dominate, you have to believe in these things. You see, we have to start paying attention to these little boys. So. This 10, 11, 12. We have to have a special service for them. That Sunday morning, women talking to them, it's too mild. We have to come up with a stronger strategy. Yeah, for these little boys. You see, it's just a little sad that we don't have people who are skilled who can invest in these little boys and little girls. Now, you look at, is it Marianne? Is it Anita's daughter who was dancing? She was some little girl who came to the church walking around the other day. Look at how she's shaking her body on stage now. Only two mornings, look at where she is at. If we don't include these little boys and girls, look at Chantel. Look at them. Two mornings, you see. Yeah. Daniel Collins, he came to the church, he was 12 years old, with his big head and his white big teeth. Now look at where he is. He was telling me he would like to be here. I said, oh, you come tonight and then go back tomorrow morning. I said, it's okay, it's possible. Come tonight, after tonight, you go back tomorrow morning. There's a great God fixed. Lazarus and the rich man. You see, nobody can come here, and you also can't go there. This is too much. Until after 3 years, that gulf is fixed. But they will come back tomorrow. Two mornings they will come back. And they say they are pastors. You can easily look at them and say, you're a small boy, hey. These small boys. No. The strategy to dominate involves these little boys, their ideas, their input. So sometimes we should probably just, that's why people have youth day and all of that. Sometimes we should sit down, let these young people do some things. Let's watch them. You see, that's why I also left here. Oh, it's a strategy. Because if I don't, those of you who don't agree with me going to Wales, I got nice people in Wales. Oh. Yeah, very, very, very nice people. Yeah, new movement, showing new movement. You see Keon standing here tall, dancing. I mean, you see his timing is getting better. When the people jump here, he jumps there. Now you wait, you wait. Give him a few more months. You see, you will wonder, you say, is it this tall guy who used to, his timing was something else. You wait and see. Yeah. It doesn't look like, it's even Jojo, if you don't take it, she's becoming old. She's missing her steps. She doesn't even know what she's doing. Yeah. Very small time, they become old people now. And I send them away somewhere and I find some other young people again. They can't move their bodies anymore. Yeah. Yolanda, get ready. You should join the Dancing Stars too. Yeah. Move your body. Yeah. Accra. Move it. Yeah, you got to move it. You got to move it. Yeah. you listening to what I'm trying to say? Paul said something about many people who were preaching. I hope if you have the spirit of Daniel. Now, just close. What does he say? Next verse. Yeah. So, go back. Who's there? Is it Rebecca? Okay. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Then he says in verse 15, he says, some indeed preach Christ even out of. You should help us all. This thing that you're trying to. Can it come a little more? Is it cool for you people, when we have a service, you do a check, or testing mic, everything has to be checked. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. He said, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He said, because I've been jailed and I was preaching Christ, some people are preaching just so that I will get more troubles. Yeah, he said, they preach Christ out of contention. He said, not sincerely. They're supposing to add, they're adding more problems to his bonds because they are preaching something else. Verse 17, he says, by the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, this is the objective. What is the objective here? Christ is preached. Whether it's sincere, whether it's out of contention, whether it's to add more affliction to my bones, he said that whatever it is Christ that is preached. That's the main thing. And I therein do rejoice. Yeah, and will rejoice. So at the end of the day, what people will bring on board is just so that the church, you see, the only thing we must reject and fight is when people come on board and they bring other things that will not help the church. Then that's when we should fight it. Cry, we should fight it straight. But if people have ideas, if young people are coming in, if girls are bringing, if old people, if young people are coming with ideas, we should embrace it. You see, the other day I made some changes in the pastoral functions in Pearl. Just the other day. Yeah. And then we went there for a small meeting. Then I heard the next day, the person that I've put there has gone to organize somebody to come and fix some fence at the back. Meanwhile, when other kings were there, it's like, you, Bishop, come and see the fence and fix it. That's what you want. You can easily say, you see, if you look at it practically, the new leadership shouldn't be there. We don't give buildings to girls who are not trained. Especially, let me not mention their race. Why? That's a easy why. No, we don't do that. That we buy a building of how many millions of dollars, and then we don't usually do that. Then the person who is professionally trained to be a pastor is removed from there. And then a young lady who is not trained to be is rather placed there. It's a sad case that should happen. But it is the objective. It is that Christ be preached. That building there and the work that we want to happen there, that it is going on and it's prospering. Even if it's a donkey, it's okay. Let the donkey do whatever the donkey wants to do. As long as souls are gathering there, as long as people are getting saved, it doesn't matter who is there. That's what I'm saying. But you can sit down and say, oh, okay, maybe Bishop likes this person. That's why he has put this person here. No, people have skills, oh. People have skills, oh. People have skills, ladies and gentlemen. Let us not be some black, backward, poor people in a church that we don't want anybody to express themselves and feel free. I announced here in this church, I said, this church here, you see, we are over the river. I said, you people here must dress up. You must dress up. You must express you. You must feel free. You must stand on a hill that is as high. I mean, when you are coming to the church, you have to do that because you hit the roof. Feel free. As long as you can walk in it, we are fine. I mean, go fingers. If you fall, he will pick you up. When I fall down, you pick me up. He'll pick you up, yeah. As long as you can, you know, just come. When you get to the door, you duck. Yeah. Doc can come in and stand on your things, and yeah, when we are doing praises, oh come on, just stand on it and jump and say, hey, yes Lord, you're jumping on your heels. I know some people, they can't do anything on heels apart from stand. All they can do is stand. Apart from that, there are some ladies who can run in the heels. And there are some, they have to take it off to run. Are you one of those who take it off to run? Hallelujah. Yeah. People have skills. You see, one day, I was looking for somebody to type letters for me. Because I used to type, I used to look at A, say A, and B, look a joke. You look, if you can find it, you look, find and joke, isn't it? You have to look for it, find it and joke. Yeah. Two steps. Look, if you can find it, you joke. Then I met a young lady. She says, you can type letter. I said, you can type letter? Oh, my life here in Guyana, I've never met anybody who can type letter. You sure you can type letter? She says, you could try. I said, how many words per minute? Then she mentioned some words. I said in my head, it's not penny times. Okay, you. Sweet. And I brought a computer. And I gave the computer. I said, type, write, myself, do a descriptive, write an essay about yourself. Type for me. Then I took my eyes off and I was talking to somebody. When I looked, I said, from today, every letter here, you are going to type. Because I can't look and joke. Yeah, look fine and joke. I have to preach. How can I be preaching and looking for words to joke and all of that? Yeah, it's a ministry. Yeah, people like that. People have skills. People have ideas. People are creative. Let me tell you, those who, is it, I don't know. Sister Elsa is a retired one, but is it, and I told people to learn. Sister Elsa, how many of you can sew clothes? How many of you, young ladies, how many of you can take a material and sew a very stylish dress and wear it for all of us to look at and say, hey, who is this? And you say, this was made by me. And we say, no, stop that rough there. You can't make anything like that. How many of us? But you see, someone like Sister Elsa, she's gone on pension with a gift. Hey. Aina too, the same thing, because of her shoulder or her arm, she's also going pension with a thing. And there are young girls and there are people here. You like dresses, but you can't sew them. And you have people who have skills. If you give the decoration of the church to them, man. Pastor Ned, can you do these things? It's only scriptures, you know. Hey, I agree with you. This thing is like the balloon is embracing the pole. first time I'm seeing something like this. Is that horns or something? What's that? Is that the hairstyle? Or? It's some curls or something. Twists. Rasta or something. It's candles. Oh, candles for the celebration. I see. Oh, it's cake and candles on it. And this one. But people do these things. These things were created by people. If you can learn how to create it, you get a lot of money. And everybody, please, if you have any skill, feel free. Feel free. Come, do something. Express it. Do it. Yeah, let it be used in the church. I tell you, the dominion strategy involves your skill, involves you, involves what you can do, involves what you think about. It involves everything you can bring on board. Yeah. And I want to tell the leaders of the church, the pastors, that it doesn't matter whether the person is not a pastor, it doesn't matter. I said, well, if the person is not a pastor, it doesn't matter. It's only pastors who God can speak through. Even animals, God used to speak to animals. If the light is going to shine for the world to see, then we need to be inclusive. We might have to have the mind of inclusiveness. Allow young people, old people, girls, boys, ideas. Let us not kill people's ideas. If you've been following Bishop lately, his services are different now, isn't it? The people who even are in front. The services have changed because he has discovered other people who add a little bit of spice and some little bit of, you know, taste to the services. Yeah, that's so, things are changed. When you watch him, it's like, this man is always going up. He's always getting bigger and stronger. It is because he is including people. He's allowing people to also be free and be doing things. Reverend Chiefs. Yeah, in Georgetown, let's include people. Some of the people who used to work with me, they are tired. Don't you see it? When you say prayer meeting, they don't come. They are tired. Tired pensioners. So you need to include newer and younger people. Every branch, make sure that you include new people, young people. Yes, hey, can you do this? Come, let's do. Can you count money? Come. Some of the people who count money, they've counted it for a long time. Now, when they thief, we don't even see that they are thieving. Oh, you don't think people thief? People thief? Yeah, they get complacent. Yeah, they go to the bank and then they tell you, oh, the money we took to the bank, they said there was $1,000 more. Then you ask yourself, so what kind of old people are counting money that they can't count well? Meanwhile, there are some people who are very good with money. You know, there are some people who are good with money. Yeah, and they're like, I don't hold money. If I have money to spend, I give it for it to be spent. I do, because when I hold the money, it will mess up with my if I take your money right, it will mess up with my money. I wouldn't know the difference. If they look alike. There are some people who are able to take the money. Where's Natasha? Natasha is here. Natasha has become prosperous by selling, is it snow cone? Selling what?
Tamarind
syrup? Green mango? Lollipop. Bigfoot. Water in a bag. Instead of giving them plastic bottles, he's giving water in a bag. He buys a plastic bottle and he pours it small into plastic bag. And he sells it for $20. Chicken foot. Chicken leg. Chicken head. Everything chicken. And then she keeps the money. Yeah, she's prosperous. She's very, very prosperous. I can't do that. $20, I put it aside. The only one I embrace is the 1,000 and the Granger. Yeah. The 20 and 100, I just put them aside. I don't have time. But there are people who are able to collect these little denominations and they become rich. I'm telling you, if we are going to dominate, and that is what we must do. And let me tell you, those who block domination, we will remove you. Because it means that you are not in line with what God wants us to do. Is that Rand? $1 million man. Where were you on Sunday, man? You ran away on Sunday. You looking at me? I'm by. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's allow the younger people. If you tell them to dance, you'll be surprised. You tell them to do a skit, you'll be surprised. Yeah, some they are walking around quiet. But if you give them the chance to do a skit, you will say, "Ah." You'll be surprised. Don't look at your not so nice face. I was going to say ugly, but I had to change my mind. Don't look at their not so nice face. And say that what you could do, you be the only pastor doing everything. You do it, you'll be tired, and then very soon you are going to get fed up. Yeah, you're going to say, "Bishop, the church is not working because you don't want to dominate. Because if you want to dominate, you have a strategy. And the strategy will be to include everybody that you sense in your heart has something to offer." We are dominating. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Let now your church shine as your bride, and that you saw in your heart as you offer up your life. Let now the Lord be well. Come home by the saved and redeemed, those adopted as your own. Our hearts burn with a flame, a fire consuming all for your Son. Holy name, and with the heavens we declare, you are our King. We love you, Lord, and we worship you. You are our God. You alone are good. And you as your Son, are you not grateful to care? Be crowned, our weight of sin. I love you, Lord, and I worship you. And hope. Oh. Then I give my life now to honor the love of Christ, our Savior came. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us tonight as a family, as a body, as an organization, as an army. Thank you for dominion strategies. That the strategy to dominate is to include people from all walks of life, their ideas, their giftings, their talents. Let us be sensitive for God. Let us be sensitive to the cause of Christ and to the mission of planting churches and raising people and winning souls. Let that spirit be that spirit we will take with us from here as we leave and go to our various places tonight. I give you praise. And I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Maybe as you are listening to me right now, you know deep down in your heart that you are not born again. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? It takes faith. It takes believing in Jesus to go to heaven. You want to pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I am saved from hell. Thank you, Father. For saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You are born again. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.